Welcome back to our study of Acts. We are in chapter 4, study of Romans. Thank you. That's the second time I've done that today. Our study of Romans, and we are in chapter 4, and we're going to pick up with verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, which gives life to the dead and calls those things which did not exist as though they did.
Now, obviously this is referring back to Genesis where God had spoken to Abraham about making him the father of many nations. But then the emphasis here is on God, who doesn't call things as they are. God who calls the things as though they existed, even though you don't see them. Even God who calls the things that are not as though they are. What did he call Abraham? The father of many nations? But that didn't exist at the time, did it? No. Now, there's some things to look at. God does not call what he sees. He calls what he wants. You see this in creation. He didn't say it's dark. He called what he wanted forth. And so that's really a spiritual principle that the body of Christ is yet not really tapped into, because people say, well, if I say that, I'm lying, you know. Well, if that's a principle of God, are you calling the principle of God a lie? You think about this. People, believers, born-again believers, could have what they say if they stop saying what they have. But most people want to speak what's already there. That's not the way God operates. God brings the dead to life. That's what quicken means. He revitalizes the thing, right? And calls not Abraham an old man, Sarah barren. That's not what he's calling. He's calling forth the son. They've given him a promise. Do you understand? And if what would happen if we would learn to understand God from that perspective and actually believe him, you'd see things a lot differently. And I want us to break these things down, because there's three things. Many years ago, the Lord just really opened this up to me, starting with that 17th verse. And there's three things that we're going to draw attention to. Considered not, staggered not, fully persuaded. Okay? And so we'll read the first one there.
Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be.
Now, think about this. He hoped when there is no hope. And so many people say, well, all hope is gone. And, you know, well, when you do that, you just seal your destiny right there. You can't give up. Never quit. You're not defeated until you quit. And if at first you don't succeed, you try again. And you try again. And you try again. You understand? I saw a thing years ago on various inventors. And all of these inventors would be what general public would call failures. They tried this, they did this, they did this, they did this. It just didn't go anywhere. And they were really featuring the guy that invented the lockout on the Ford Bronco for the four-wheel drive, for any of you guys that know what I'm talking about. And with all those things that didn't work before, that was a home run for him, okay? And so you don't give up. You don't get discouraged if you don't see it working first time, if it doesn't come in the time you think. You don't give up. You stay there. Who against hope? You believe in hope. You believe in hope. God said it. It has to happen. All I have to do is not move from it. I have to stay with it. And if something's not working, I need to examine my own heart. Is there a lack of understanding here? Problem's not, it's never with God. And then sometimes it's not a problem with you. Someone came in today, he was talking to me about Job. And there wasn't a problem with Job. As a matter of fact, he was doing everything right. God was bragging on him. But adversity hit. And he didn't understand that. And we wouldn't either. But he wouldn't accuse God. Problem today is people accuse God. People get mad at God. He says he didn't sin with his mouth. He didn't charge God foolishly. He was saying, I would like to understand this. I'd like to sit down and talk with God and see what's going on. And then God got things in perspective. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than theirs. And by the time he got through talking to Job, and Job didn't have anything to say other than, I talked about what I didn't know. I've said too much. I used to know you by the hearing of the ear, what people said about you. Now I've experienced you. And believe it or not, in times like this with Abraham, it's the experience that gets him into a deeper understanding of God and a more bonding with God, if I can say it that way. You don't know God by teaching. You know about Him. You know Him by experience. Okay? And so when you look at this, never lose hope. Never give up hope. Just go ahead and admit that you're not that smart. God is. You may not understand it. But God said it, so I'm going to stay with it. So everybody around me is saying there's no hope, but I'm going to have hope. And then don't try to explain it. Just stand there and stay with it. Okay?
He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, I'm sorry.
What verse are you in?
20. I think I skipped.
Let's look at 19.
Let's do look at 19. Yeah. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Now, first thing I want you to see, it didn't say Abraham had tons of faith. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, I need more faith. And Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's not how much you have, it's how strong are you in what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the emphasis here. He was not weak in what he believed. He had one promise here, that you're going to have a seed. You're going to have a son. So all he was doing was saying, I'm going to have a son. To the point that he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. You understand? Never let go of that. He was not weak in what he believed. I'm telling you, there's so many people today that you can persuade their belief.
Mm-hmm.
They're not established in what they believe. And the reason they're not established in what they believe is because they haven't experienced. They've heard, They've heard this preacher say this preacher say that, and this one say something else. And so you come along with something that sounds better, and they can move you. But if you've experienced, you can't be moved. If I don't know it's real, you can't convince me it's not. Mm. You with me? And so he's strong in what he believes. Now here's the key. Now at the time God gave that promise, Abraham was 99 years of the time that Isaac was born. That promise was fulfilled. Okay, Abraham was 99 years old, or 100 years old actually when Isaac was born, and Sarah was 90 years old when Isaac was born. When God gave him the promise, he was 75 years old. And so you think about this 25 years, but he won't consider his age. He won't consider the fact that Sarah is barren. She can't have children. She's never had children, and now she's an old woman. And so she can't have children. Here, she would have been 65 years old then. He can't. He wouldn't consider it. I won't consider that. I'm not going to look at me. I'm not going to look at Sarah. I'm not going to look at circumstances at all. What I'm going to do is focus on what God said. I'm going to stay there. Nothing persuading him to move from that hope that he had on the inside of him. He was strong in what he believed. Okay? We have to learn to be strong in what we believe. Okay?
Verse 20.
Yeah.
He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God.
Now, I want you to look at that. Here it uses the phrase strong in faith. Okay? He did not stagger at the promise of God. How many of you know that? That's a pretty phenomenal promise. To give an old man, an old woman, especially a barren woman. Okay? Sounds too good to be true. You ever heard that? Just sounds too good to be true. He wouldn't stagger at it. God said it. God said it. God said it. Now the next verse, verse 21, tells us why he wouldn't stagger and why he wouldn't consider.
And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform.
Here's the key. Now here's faith. Fully persuaded. Most people do not understand faith, what faith is. They mix it with hope. Okay? Faith possesses already. It's persuaded. Faith is not looking for something to come. Faith has it. You with me? And back many, many years ago, the Lord told me, He gave me an illustration, something that had happened to me. And he said, you'll always know if you're in faith. You'll always know if you're in faith. But most people are calling presumption faith. They just assume because they quote a scripture that that's faith. But faith, according to Romans 10:17, we'll see that later on, comes when you hear God speak, not when you read. Now, you can be reading and all of a sudden the scripture come alive. Well, God just spoke. You understand? But just reading and quoting, well, Mark 11:23 says this, Mark 11:24 says this. Have you read that and just mentally assented to it, or has that become a revelation to you? And when you get that on the inside, faith arises. See, Here's the way the Lord said this to me. Faith accompanies my word when I speak it. Faith's there. You're not trying to get it. It's there. Okay? Don't let it go. You understand? It's there. Don't let it go. See, circumstances will try to talk you out of it. Abraham wouldn't consider circumstances. No, I'm persuaded. God can perform what he says. It's not dependent on my age. If I was 500 years old, that would be an issue. You understand? He's convinced. He's not fantasizing. He's convinced God is able to back his word. I'm fully persuaded that anything God says, God will do. That's where he was. That's why Isaac was born. He wouldn't move from it. You with me? Now, to me, that's a very valuable principle that we need to learn. And I'm going to go back to the consider. Abraham wasn't stupid. He knew his wife was barren. He knew she was old. He knew he was old. But he wouldn't consider it. It's not like an ostrich with his head in the sand. No, I'm not going to take that in consideration. Here's what I'm going to set my mind on. And this is what consider means. You set your mind. I'm going to set my mind on what God said. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my mind on what God said. I'm going to look at this. And because he did, he saw God's word come to pass in his life. Okay? And so we need to learn to follow that principle and stop looking at circumstances. Right now, it's really amazing to me how many professing Christians right now are walking around in fear. I mean fear. Well, is God going to fail you? The bottom line is, God's not going to fail me. I don't want to fail him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And fear will move you from God. Faith will move you toward God. They're opposites. And the more developed you become in the love of God, the less fear has as far as tormenting you. Perfect love, complete love, mature love, cast out fear. Okay? Abraham had a revelation of God's love. Most people don't have that revelation. They think of love as if I do good, God will be good to me. Well, you weren't doing so well when he saved you. When he died for you, we were in sin, right? And so then that love of God is an unconditional love. But we have a hard time comprehending unconditional love because the natural love that we see among people is based on performance.
Mm-hmm.
If you do right, you love me. If you don't do right, you don't love me. If you show me affection, you love me. If you don't show me affection, you don't love me. It's not that way with God at all. It's not based on any of that. God loved me when I was a rascal. And you too. He loved me right into his kingdom. You with me? And so, he's wanting to get us to the point to where we're not looking at natural kingdoms. And this is the thing that the Lord has been telling us basically all year long. Get out of carnal thinking. I want to take you to another dimension. I want to take you to a dimension to where you're thinking like me. That I have you're captivated by your attention. I have your attention. I'm captivating you, not the world. But the church goes on following the world. It subjects itself to the world. And people, you know, I know people probably laugh at me, make fun of me, but I don't care. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. They're not of this world. Will you say that? I'm not of this world. Well, you sure look like, no, I'm not of this world. I'm in it. Or I'm not of it. If I'm of it, it's influencing my life. To the point, in most cases, it's control of my life. And that's where most people are right now. They're of the world, so the world's controlling them. The world's dictating to them. Do this. Okay. Do that. Okay. Believe this. Okay. What would happen if we would treat God like we treat the world? If we would believe God like we believe news? We've got to learn which kingdom we're going to live in. And you're not going to live in both. You're going to make a choice. You're either going to live in the kingdoms of the world, or you're going to live in the kingdom of God. And if I live in the kingdom of God, then God's ruling my life. And the way God rules my life is by His Word and by His Spirit. And so am I subjected to the Word of God to the point that when God says it, I believe it and act on it? Or when the Spirit says it, I believe it and act on it? Then I'm in the kingdom. I'm operating by the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is ruling. But when the world is dictating to me and I'm making my decision based on what the world says, the world's ruling me.
I think about living in the two different worlds. And we see this so often with children at school. Joint custody. God does not share joint custody with His children. And so we cannot, and we're trying to get out of this. I'm speaking of myself, living in the world and going back and forth with the Lord's kingdom. And it doesn't work that way. He wants us fully devoted, living full time, full custody with Him. And so you think about, I'm thinking about Abraham and Sarah here, being fully persuaded, not moving off of that, and how that is. He wasn't trying to share custody with anybody, if that makes any sense. I'll leave it at that.
Think about this. We can all quote the scripture, the just live by faith. But what does that mean to you? Does that mean when you get in a situation that you're supposed to go to God? Or does that mean that that's how you live every day of your life? All day long. And see, the truth of the matter is, he's saying the just, those who've been justified, live by faith. It's a lifestyle to them. It's not an act that they do on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way you live. You always believe God.
Mm-hmm.
For good, whether things are going well, whether things are not going so well. You always believe God. You just walk by faith. Father, I thank you that your word says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. To those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And I say this, I've said this often. I love you and I know I'm called according to your purpose. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to take my stand that this is going to work for my good. It's working for my good. Someone believe that. It's working for my good. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good, but it's working for my good. And you don't move off of that. Okay? And so faith is a lifestyle. Think of it this way. It's salvation. Don't you have to believe that daily? You walk in that daily. Right? And so you are convinced every day of your life, I'm born again. The life of God lives in me. It becomes a way of life to you. Then no one can get you doubting whether or not you're saved. But here again, it's amazing to me how many people I've talked to over the years that are afraid to die. They're not sure where they're going. And you've been in church all your life, and you're not sure where you're going. Why? Lack of experience. Lack of experience. You've mentally ascended to something, but you haven't entered into an experience. I grew up in church. I talk to God a lot, but as always, don't send me to hell. I was a rascal. Okay. And so, I wasn't saying I want to stop what I'm doing. I didn't want to go to hell. I was pretty smart, But then the day came that all of us, I get the revelation. Even after I reformed, you still had that thought, well, I hope I'm living good enough. You're not. Because it's not based on performance. But once I got the revelation of born again, God living in me, I've never doubted where I'm going. And I'll tell you something else that's done. It's taken away the fear of death. Someone just here recently was talking to me about, said, I'm afraid to die. I said, why? You know, 2 Corinthians 5th chapter says, if you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. It's going to be better there than it is here. So where's the fear? We're still holding on to natural. Or what about this? And what about this? And what about that? I'm going to have to leave this. That means that you love that more than you love God. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he said, the King James Version says straight. My vernacular says I'm between a rock and a hard spot. Okay? I have a tough decision to make. To go on and be with the Lord, which is far better, or to stay here with you. But because you need me, I'm going to stay here. But what was his preference? To be with the Lord. You with me? And I'm not telling you to get a death wish. Don't read that in there. That's not what I'm saying at all. Mm. I'm saying get rid of the fear. Mm. Get rid of the fear. What God has is better. And the more experience you have with God, the less hold the world has in you. Things that used to interest me, I don't have any interest in at all. Actually, I was just thinking about that yesterday. I don't even care about it. It governed me. I don't even care about it. It doesn't matter. Give me today my daily bread. What is that? Is that living by faith? Daily? Not give me my weekly bread. But daily. And so our walk with God is a daily thing. It's to be a fresh walk with God, not in and out. but just a fresh walk with God to where you're conscious of God. But I dare say the average Christian goes through most of the day not even thinking about God, unless something comes up. I was in a place of business a few days ago, and I bought something, and the lady said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Why would you ask that? The way I'm dressed." She said, "Yeah." At least she is honest. I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm a minister." She said, "Well, you know, just remember us in your prayers, you know." And everything I could see was heathen all the way, you understand? But it's amazing how people think, you know, thinking like I used to think. But the mercy of God wants to bring people out of that. And he's got to have a people that live his life, or allow his life to be lived through them, I guess is a better way of saying it. Galatians 2:20, okay? To where the light shines. You with me? How can I convince you to live by faith if I'm not? You look at how many lives Abraham's life has affected. It definitely had effect in his immediate time. But Abraham's life has affected me.
Mm-hmm.
Just by reading about him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's called the father of faith to all who believe. Why? He gave us the example of believing God, taking God literally at his word. I was just reading today on, you know, Jesus and the centurion, servant sick, and just say the word.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to come lay hands on it. Just say the word. Jesus said, "I haven't found faith like this in Israel." This guy was a Roman who dared believe the word of God. You know what happened? Because he believed the word of God, the servant was healed. He never even saw Jesus. Jesus never entered his house. He was corresponding with him through other people. But he believed the word. And this is where the Lord has been trying to take us. Believe the word. Now, the amazing thing is, we'll do it in one part, and we don't do it in another part. We'll believe the word for salvation. But it's amazing to me how many people believe the word for salvation, won't believe the word for the Holy Spirit, or won't believe the word for healing, or whatever, you name it. They won't believe that God taking care of them on a daily basis, this type of thing. We just believe in one, this one area. Well, is God only good in one area? Or is he almighty? Is he all wise? Is he ever present? I mean, if you think about omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, I mean, my goodness, to get a revelation of that, I don't know that I have a full revelation because I can't comprehend God. But I know from experiences that I've had with him that he can do things that nobody else can do, that he is powerful, that he can reveal things to me nobody else knows. You understand? And a very present help in a time of need. But you don't wait till you get in the need to communicate. You live with him. You live with him. Every day you live with him. You talk to him during the day. Sometimes I'm asked, "What did you say?" I say, "I wasn't talking to you." Sometimes you forget there's somebody else there. You know what I mean? God wants us to live in communion with Him. And this is the key, really, I believe, to being strong in what you believe. To staying in constant fellowship with the Lord. You follow that? Then you consider Him. You set your mind on Him. And when you start setting your mind on Him, you think, well, what can't God do? This is nothing to Him. He raised the dead. They could handle this situation. Yeah, I'm convinced God can do it. Then you live it out. Okay? My time's up here, so we're gonna take a break, and we'll pick back up, I guess, for 22.